Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and today we're going to do something a little bit different. People have been mentioning to me that they want to hear a little bit more about this one guy, this one entrepreneur, and it's come up over the years. And so today, for the first time, we're going to go solo cast, me. We're going to talk about me a little bit today, what makes me tick. And a little bit about how I got here. And the reason we're going to do this, yeah, we've had some people request this over the years, you know, a number of times. But we had somebody today that couldn't be on the show. So I am sort of winging it a little bit. But I think it's going to be an interesting story. We were having a conversation the other day, and people were sort of asking me what I wished I had when I was younger, and I as an entrepreneur, and I told this group of people that I wished I had somebody that was 10, 20, 30 years older than me that had some of the same background that I had, but they were just a little bit older, so they could sort of share what it was like to be a little bit older. Am I still gonna be motivated to get up in the morning when I'm 10, 20, 30 years older? What am I gonna care about? What kinds of things might change as I get a little bit older in my journey of entrepreneurship? And I think entrepreneurs, especially the ones that take their business very, very seriously, there's sort of few and far between. We're a little bit of a rare breed. And so being able to sort of lock up one-on-one or in a small group with people who are extremely motivated, and then getting away from the small talk, right? Hey, let's talk about the Niners, or let's talk about, you know, the Giants or something like that. And getting into like what really makes you tick. I mean, we don't really get those chances to sort of ask those questions of people that might be a little bit like you, right? They might be a little bit crazy like you and I are as entrepreneurs. So if you're one of those people out there that is kind of a little bit obsessive about entrepreneurship, your business, maybe a little bit obsessive about winning, figuring out a way to win, well, then, you know, this might be an interesting show for you, because you're going to hear from somebody who is extremely obsessive about winning, and I'm not apologetic about it, although I don't shout it from the rooftops, because those people that are, you know, very obsessive about stuff and motivated, you know, they can rub us the wrong way. Sometimes it even sounds like you're bragging, but when you get in a small group, you can kind of talk about, well, today I'm going to talk about it on the show, and so I guess I am shouting it to a certain extent, but I hope maybe you can identify with some of the things that I'm going to talk about today. So stick around. It's the Mark Haney Show. We're going to be talking about me and my journey, and me being probably a little bit older than you. Let's see if we can relate to one another just a bit. Stick around. Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. As I said before earlier, we're going to talk about me today and dive deep into the way I think about entrepreneurship, the way I think about winning. And I think it starts with the thing, is it okay to win? Is it okay to be great? Is it okay to try to do something maybe that nobody else has ever done? And I would submit to you that yes, for me, as an older person still, but I was like this even as a younger person, I wanted to do something, special. I wasn't good enough to be a professional athlete, so I've been in this discovery mode, and, you know, entrepreneurship is one of those things where you can try as hard as you want, you could be as great as you can allow, you know, can be on your own terms, with the help of others, but there's really no limits, right? There's nothing that limits you like other aspects of a career might. Entrepreneurship, it's like sky's the limit. And I guess I would submit to you as well that even if you're working for somebody else, the sky is the limit. But in entrepreneurship, there's probably an easier pathway to sort of create it your own way. And that's what I've been attempting to do. So I'm going to share with you today sort of my framework for creating an entrepreneurial life. So I'm going to take you back a little bit to me selling my companies, right? I was video stores, then security cameras, sold my company. Gosh, it's been about like 11 years ago, 11 and a half years ago. It was 2010. My goodness. Anyway, what am I going to do with my life? And I think this is where maybe some of you guys can relate. If anybody who's there listening today and doesn't know quite the direction that they want to go, I'll share with you what I did, and this may resonate with you a little bit. I had a little break in the action, left my company after selling it, and the first thing I did was buy a gigantic dry erase board, right? And it's like, that might sound kind of funny, but that was like the first piece of office equipment that I bought. And I was trying to decide what I wanted to do with my life. I was no longer employed in the security business. And so I started writing down stuff, right? So I wrote down all the things that, I guess I took a personal inventory, if you will. What are all the things I like to do? What are all the things I think I'm kind of good at? What are all the things I am not very good at? You know, and kind of threw all these things on a dry erase board, and I stared at them for a long time, several days. And I think looking at, you know, my strengths, my weaknesses, the opportunities that I had, the things that that were worrying me, the people I cared about, why, you know, at that time, I think I was 47, and I decided to write a mission statement. And that mission statement has guided me. So anybody that maybe is thinking about, like, where to begin on something, you know, a mission statement can be a huge help. I created a mission statement. I created a vision. I created a purpose statement. And I feel like that has guided me in many ways. And so anybody who's like figuring out where they want to go, that might be a good start. My life today, I started down a path, kind of a meandering path. My mission statement was all around creating opportunity for my family, my friends, and my community, and as they succeed, I succeed. So that's really the premise for where I, you know, the way I think, because it's fun for me to help create opportunity for other people. I really, for me, that's been one of the most rewarding things that I've done in my life. And so really, as I think to how my life, I've sort of organized my life in these compartments. My family is one compartment. My friends are another compartment. And my community is another compartment. And then I have me, I say that I am fourth. So if I can help people that I care about in each of those buckets to succeed, then I succeed. And then for me, health and fitness and that kind of thing is a very important piece of, you know, keeping going, right? So I can continue to help create opportunity for others, right? I got to be healthy, and I got to be fit, and I got to be sane. I've got to be, you know, personally where I want to be. So I think today I'm going to talk a little bit about each of those buckets. And I've got Scott over here. He's my AV guy. He's also the guy that helps me with my real estate investments and a number of things that I'm working on. So since this is a solo cast, I get stuck. He may pause me a little bit and go, hey, bring this up, bring that up. And hopefully there can be a little bit of an opportunity for me to share more of my philosophy. But I wanted to kind of give you the framework of where we were coming from. So I want to start by talking about my family. And I think there's probably parents out there listening, people who are maybe even the children of people who, you know, adult children that might be listening at some level. And I think the way my wife, Stacy, and I have raised our family, again, this is a perspective. I don't come in saying I am a child development expert. I just know how we did it. And my kids still love me. Apparently, after my kids are 33 and 35, and we're building a family compound out in Loomis. We call it Haneyville. So you may hear that reference on the show occasionally. But one of the things that I think is important is kind of thinking long-term with your kids early on. And that really, it comes down to the values that they learn as kids. I think my kids, they're very ambitious. Of course, they're not perfect, just like their father, very similar. But they have ambition, and they have family values. We love one another in a way that kind of gives us that support system that has been extremely valuable in being happy. So what I do every week is I write down. I have a mantra: write it down and revisit. So I write down my mission statement. I revisit it. I write down my purpose statement. I revisit it. Now those things are tattooed to my soul. I don't really need to look at them necessarily, because I think about them basically nonstop. But I do compartmentalize family, friends, community, and my personal and me, right? I am fourth. I write that down every week. I write down my calendar, and I sort of revisit that throughout the week, and I think about what's important to me. And when it comes to family, we're building something called Haneyville, which is 72 acres out in Loomis. If you're following me online, sometimes my wife or I'll post something about Haneyville, which the reason we call it Haneyville is one of our teammates thought it looked like a town. And it does kind of look like a town out there. It's an original winery of Placer County from like the 30s, pre-prohibition. And so it looks like a town now. We're basically demoing what looks like a town now, and we're going to rebuild it as a town. So anybody who comes to hang out with me over at my house, you're going to be walking into something that kind of looks like a town. My daughter is building her house out there right now. My son Marcus already lives out there, but Ashley's house will be done later this year, and then ours will be done in the next year and a half or so. So super excited about that. And it's one of those things where I think it goes back to, when I was a kid, and the way that we raised our family is we were raised that family is the most important thing. Okay. That's how I was raised. My mom and dad raised us. Nothing's more important than family. And I think we took that to our family. And I believe that all great change in America begins at the dinner table. If we really want to shape our family, if we really want to shape our community, if we really want to have an impact, I really believe doesn't have to be at the dinner table, but it starts by talking to your children and listening to your children and helping them to, I guess, understand where you come from. And some of that will rub off on them. And to me, if I credit my wife and I as parents for anything, is we spent a lot of time with our kids. Even though we worked a lot of hours, we spent a lot of time with our kids. I coach football and baseball and even gymnastics, other stuff. But we spent a lot of time talking about the things that were important to me and the things that were important to her. So they ended up believing in some of the same things I believe in. They're both entrepreneurs, and they're both ambitious, and they're both sort of chasing crazy dreams, and they're both involved in their kids' sports. And so I think some of that stuff certainly rubbed off. And because we continued, and this, I give my wife a lot of credit for this, Stacy, like she makes sure that we keep that communication alive. She makes sure that, we have the Sunday night dinners and that we do things as a family, even with our adult children and our grandchildren. She sort of keeps that all together. So I feel like any advice I might have would be it starts with Stacy, having the right partner in your life and then getting aligned with them. And then just spending time communicating with the people in your life. And we're talking about our family. There, in my opinion, there's nothing more important than that. So every morning when I come in the morning, I come into the office and I remind myself, I've got it written down. Look at what I'm going to do out throughout the day. And I got the column that says family. And I think about who I'm grateful for. And I'll typically sort of jot something down about somebody in my family to sort of remind me of, you know, what it's all about. The second bucket that I focus on, and this is the one you guys hear a lot about on our show, is my friend bucket. And, you know, I have a lot of friends that I'm not in business with, but like tonight I'm going to a concert with a really good friend who's a high school teacher and a former football coach, and his wife is actually the person that fixed me and Stacy up. Mike and Becky, we're going to go out. They're not entrepreneurs. Well, actually, Mike is—he has started his own business. I forgot about that. So he's a school teacher, but he's toward the tail end of his career, and he's started a welding business, and he's busier than heck. So, many of my friends are not entrepreneurs, but I'm really focused on helping create opportunity for business people, and these are my friends, right? When I partner up with somebody, I'm hoping that that we're going to really have a relationship that is a lot deeper than a business relationship, and it almost always is. I think I'm invested into 50 plus companies today, which is a lot of friends. And then we recently launched the Growth Factory, and we invested into another 15 companies through the Growth Factory. I'm also invested into a number of venture capital funds here in town. So indirectly, I'm invested into hundreds of companies, small businesses. But really, I'm thinking about the Growth Factory companies. These people are, these are my friends. They're becoming my friends. They're new friends to a certain extent. But my other business partners and the people that I've invested into, these are some of the closest friends I have, and I think I want to help them, right? So part of, you know, I want to give more than I take from each relationship, and so I want to help them to succeed. If they succeed, then I succeed. It all ties back to my original mission statement is, like, I want to help create opportunity for my family, my friends, and our community. As they succeed, then I succeed, and I'm fortunate because the opportunities that I've had a hand in helping create have been a big benefit. And some of the companies we've invested into, in fact, the vast majority have been successful, and some have been wildly successful, built their companies up and sold them. And there's really nothing more gratifying for me than helping somebody to succeed in their life, because I think a lot of people are searching for that. And I think there's a lot of people that don't feel like the opportunity exists, but it does, right? I think my purpose statement that I mentioned at the beginning of the show is opportunity through commitment. So wherever you are in your world, if you want opportunity, it's... the price for getting that opportunity is commitment, right? That's the price you pay if you want opportunity. The more that you commit, it's crazy, but the opportunities just start happening. Whether you're an employee, whether you know you could be working at Starbucks, you could be a janitor somewhere. But the more you commit, the more opportunity seems to find you because people notice. It sort of shows up when you're committed in a way that's different than others. And so that's, you know, if there's a takeaway from the friend bucket is the people that I've invested into have demonstrated uncommon commitment, right? And there's something that's very attractive about that to me. I'm drawn to people that are not working for the weekend, playing for the pension, always talking about escaping their life. I like being around people that are living and loving what they're doing and committing to it and obsessing on it. And that to me is really attractive because that's where, to me, that's where greatness happens. And I'm kind of a fan of seeing people do things that they didn't expect themselves to be able to do. And so I'm drawn to that. And I think that's why I'm drawn to entrepreneurship generally. And so I've been, I guess, back to throwing things against the board. It's like I was thinking that 10 or 11 years ago, and now it's manifesting itself. It started with doubling down on an investment into my brother-in-law, who I'm business partners with in a security company, and then my daughter in real estate, you know, a good buddy in concrete. Now it's a lot of companies, and these are our friends. These are my friends. These are family friends. These are people that, you know, I would do whatever. I'd give them the shirt off my back if needed. And I know, but the thing is, I know they would do that for me too. And so there's something very rewarding about having those kind of friendships in your life. And part of what, if I had to say my vision for that is if the 50 companies that I'm invested into and the new 15 with the growth factory, and you think about their founding teams, right? The leadership, the founders, and many times there's a few founders. What if, and this has been kind of my fascination, is what if they all loved each other? Picture them, I sort of like to picture them in my backyard, and we're all together celebrating our successes and high-fiving and toasting one another. And somehow those friendships that that started by this maybe an investment or a business partnership with me, that we all sort of can cross-pollinate and become friends together. And it's starting to happen, which is super rewarding. And I think if there's a takeaway from this, I would say it's taken a long time. So I've been, you know, your first investment, you might have the dream. Second investment, you know, three investments, it's easy to sort of bond. And then, you know, they happen over time. And friendships and relationships happen over time. But now that it's 50 plus, upwards of 65 with the growth factory, it's like, wow. Now my backyard is beginning to look different. We had an event in our backyard, let's say it was a year and a half ago, just before COVID. And the love was really there. The friendships were really beginning to blossom. And just yesterday, last night, in fact, we launched the growth factory. We had a launch party in the parking lot here at the office and recognized the 15 new founders, and some of my other business partners were there, and, you know, people I co-invest with. And it was really a cool celebration because people were like, I get it. It's starting this vision, this Mark the Dreamer. You know, it's actually coming into fruition. We had the Business Journal was there, and mayors of different towns were there. It was a cool experience. Barry Broom was there, the guy that runs GSEC, and it's like, wow, we're really doing something quite unique with this business partner thing. And that's my friend bucket, right? Friends that have your back, that are, they think like you do in some ways, and that they believe in commitment. They're extremely authentic in their approach, okay to be vulnerable, and come across hopefully in a way, hopefully I do, but I know the people that I'm partnered with are, they come across as really humble. And I saw that last night with companies, with founders not wanting to call attention to themselves. And it was really gratifying to see that happen. And so really, you think my one of my business partners, Rick Spencer, he always talks, he kind of teases me about the love, right? Love, business is not supposed to be all this love inside business. But he's starting to see it too, which is kind of interesting. So as I talk about business partners that all love each other, it sounds a little bit corny, but when you see it happen, now that is actually kind of a unique thing to witness, to see founder A and founder B going out and having a beer together, or, you know, sharing great information about how to build a company, just swapping war stories and talking about how great they're going to be. And it's a bonding thing. And again, like I said before, it's hard to find people like us that are very obsessed with building something special, with figuring out a way to change the world. And so who are you going to talk to about all that stuff? Well, you can talk to somebody else that's like that. And that's what I think our business partner, that's what's starting to gel between our portfolio companies and our business partners. And it's actually magical. And I think it's actually very powerful, and that success breeds success. I talked about that a little bit last night, right? The confidence that ends up happening when somebody is successful, it ends up being infectious, and it rubs off on your family at the dinner table. It rubs off at the water cooler with your coworker, and I think it rubs off in the parking lot here at our office when we're talking about the growth factory. It's like, wow, okay, if Brandon Brown can do it, then Greg Conley can do it, and I'm just a startup, maybe I can do it too. And I think it gives us something to hope for, because I think much of society is trying to, I guess, brainwash us into thinking that average is okay. And it really is okay. It doesn't matter to me if you're happy being average, or, you know, going with the flow. I call it sheeple syndrome, right? Where you're just kind of running with the rest of the herd. That's fine. But there are people that are not like that, right? That think a little bit differently, that really, you know, they didn't make it to the pros, so in baseball or football, but so they want to do it in entrepreneurship. And being around those people is a really special thing. But you, most of the time, you don't know where to find them. So that's kind of the interesting thing, is like, where are these people? Well, I happen to have them as business partners, which is really a cool thing. I'm also in a group called the Entrepreneurs Organization, which is filled with entrepreneurs that have had some success. They've got a growth mindset. I think the revenue minimum, you get revenues $1 million, and there's like 70 or 80 of us. And it's a little bit like AA for entrepreneurship, where we get to kind of confess our sins in private and totally confidential. And really, it's a place where you can be yourself, because realistically, when you're out there with the school teacher or the FedEx driver, the people that are sort of playing for the paycheck a little bit, or working for the weekend, playing for the pension, it's hard to share that you want to build a $100 million company. It's hard to share that you want to bring $1 billion a year of venture capital into the Sacramento region. It's sort of like, it's just not what most people think about, right? So, but I'm obsessed with these things. And so who do you talk to about that? And you can do that kind of thing within your close friend group, especially when they're entrepreneurs, and that's what happens with the Entrepreneurs Organization. The third bucket of the four is my community bucket, and I guess I should back up with that too, and say my parents were community minded. They were small business people, and, you know, my dad was on the library board. My mom was in Sir Optimus. So I had a good example of people who really cared about their hometown. And so I think I got that from them. And again, I think my kids are getting that from me. My daughter is the youngest ever president of the Placer County Association of Realtors, which is cool. Well, she was the youngest ever, and then she finished her term. Now she's, I think, going to be president again. And she'll be, the next time she's president, she'll be the youngest one again for the second time. So it's kind of an interesting, and that's a job. They don't pay you to do that, by the way. That's a job where you volunteer to help other realtors and really build the community for the good of real estate in their real estate industry. But she's built that way. She's also helps in so many other causes. And I mean, realtors do that by nature, but my kids are both extremely committed to that. My wife worked for the city of Roseville as the HR director for several years and ended up retiring from there. So she was built to help her hometown or our hometown as well. And then my son Marcus, who was on the show with us for a number of years, he's out doing entrepreneurial things today, but he was in the Marine Corps and served in Afghanistan, wounded, got a Purple Heart. And I think when it comes to my community and how I can help my community, people call it giving back. I just think of it as the right thing to do, and it's fun for me. I think there's a lot of people that think about, I'm going to escape California, I'm going to go somewhere else, and for me, this is where my roots are. Marcus's son, Hunter, plays Little League on the same field that I played on, where I coached Marcus, and I think those things matter to me. That's just sort of the way that I was raised, and it's obviously the way our kids are raised. And so now we're entrenched into this community. We are not leaving. And so I feel like if you are living somewhere, it's a almost like a moral obligation to give more than you take from your community. And so I think I helped a little bit when I was coaching, and now I'm helping out in entrepreneurship. And that's really what prompted this show, right? Why did we start the Mark Haney Show? It started off as Entrepreneurs Unleashed and then became the Haney Biz Project. And as I've tried to figure out what the best way to convey a message is, we've changed the name to the Mark Haney Show. But it's always been around promoting entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs do so many great things for society. They create opportunity. They really change the world. They figure out ways to do things that weren't done before. And so they are always trying to figure out how to build a better mousetrap. And to me, that's good for society. And it's what creates jobs and really makes the world go round. And I think that that's good for our hometown. And I think sharing stories about winning on our show that are inspiring is helpful to our community. And I think that sometimes when we hear these stories, it's educational, not just inspiring, it's educational, and that education is good for our community. So really this whole show, if you will, this whole media thing that I'm doing, podcast, YouTube, social media, Money 105.5. It really is to help the community, because entrepreneurship is good for our community, and I know that it is, and it's been an incredible way to meet people that also believe in entrepreneurship, and there's a group of us that kind of think that way, and we're stronger together as a team. There's a group of people in the Sacramento region that are forming that really believe in the power of entrepreneurship, that really understand the kind of impact that an entrepreneur can have. And so building an ecosystem or a framework, a town that embraces entrepreneurship is super valuable for our community, especially one like Sacramento, where we're known for kind of being a government cow town. To change that mindset at some level, I think is valuable for our hometown. And really, to me, it's like one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And so I meet with as many entrepreneurs as I can. And I think my the people in my my world know that I want to meet all the entrepreneurs in Sacramento. And even if it's just to act as a sounding board or point you in the right direction. And then some, who knows, some might be demonstrating the right type of business and the right type of commitment where, you know, they might come into the growth factory. I might have a new business partner. So I do throw out that invitation to any of you out there that are thinking, wow, I'm interested in entrepreneurship, or I'm an entrepreneur. I want to meet you. Mark Haney wants to meet you. And you know, if maybe there's something I can do to help, or sometimes it's just listening it can be helpful. So I do these things called Hanging with Haney, where entrepreneurs get together and talk about, you know, our struggles and how great we're going to be and so on. So I would invite you, if you're interested in any of that, hit me up. Haven't done as much of that during COVID because of all the restrictions. And just, I think there's some certain amount of paranoia, but as we sort of ease out of that hyper concern about COVID, I think our events will kick back up, and we'll do more Hanging with Haney's. And so I would invite you to do that. So, you know, that's, you know, I break up my, you know, again, I break this up as my family, my friends, in my community. As they succeed, I succeed. And I think when I think back to overarching, like what, you know, why I do what I do, I always wanted to make people proud. Maybe that was part of being a middle child. So when my son was shot in Afghanistan and, you know, his friends were getting blown up, all I could think about was, what am I doing back here with the women and children? Why the real men are out there fighting? And I think that hit me in a way that said, okay, I want to make my son proud. That's okay. That's, you know, I've always wanted to make my mom and dad proud. I want to make my, you know, my wife and my daughter proud. But I think when Marcus and his friends started, you know, doing what they were doing and, you know, taking the risks and making the sacrifices they were making, I'm like, okay, what can I do for my community? I'm too old to go out there, maybe not brave enough to go out there and fight, but I can do this, right? And so whatever I do needs to be have enough oomph behind it so that somebody like my son would see it as benefit, you know, that would make him proud, or make him proud of me. So that's been something that is really, it stays with you. You know, you don't need certain things, you don't need to write down and revisit. They just are sort of tattooed to your soul. And I think that's one of those things. I think about that too, because the fourth bucket, and I don't know how much time we have, Scott.
About 40 minutes.
How many?
40 minutes.
Okay, well, I don't know how much time we have now though. Left. Yeah.
Let's go another 10 minutes.
Okay, cool. So we'll go another 10 minutes. The fourth bucket, and really, you know, I kind of think of this as I say I am fourth because my mission statement says, you know, I try to frame this, right? And I, as you think about what you have in your life, I'm doing a lot of stuff, right? I think you can, you heard kind of the overarching view of like, my God, this guy's working on a lot of stuff. People tell me that. But if I compartmentalize it to three or four things, I'm working on my family is Haneyville. And my friends are my business partners. My community is this show and the media and the events that I do. That's really the three buckets. That's how I categorize it. And then really, I just got to keep myself healthy so I can go work on those three buckets. So I kind of say that I am fourth. I write that down every day, or every week. And I think that for me, that's a simple way of framing it, but Scott will tell you, other people might tell you, man, you're always, you know, you're always at the gym, you're doing this fitness thing. And, we actually did a podcast, I don't know, a year ago where I was really going to go down. It was right in the middle of COVID. I was going to start doing my podcast and kind of include a lot of health and fitness type of content because I was, you know, we had a little bit of break in the action from all the events and stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to double down on some of my health and fitness stuff. And so people kind of ask me a lot, is like, how do you have time to do all that stuff? And I really think compartmentalizing with overarching mission, and then breaking it down where there's sort of a vision and a mission for each compartment. And I would say don't get too many. For me, it's three plus my health and fitness, which is really, you know, my own personal sanity, right? For me, working out and getting enough sleep and thinking right, and eating right, somewhat. These are the things that make it so that I feel strong enough, alive enough to go attack these other areas of my life. And to me, this whole system, it's what keeps me happy, right? So if you step back from it, it's like, well, why are you doing all this stuff? Well, ultimately, I think you just want to be happy, right? You want to be satisfied. You want to, you know, you want to be able to get up in the morning and look forward to your day, which is what I do. Sometimes I have trouble going to sleep at night because I'm really excited about the next day. Like this, like the night before last, when we had the launch party, I'm like, oh man, it's going to be really exciting. You know, it's even tough to get to sleep at night. So I try to make sure I break my, I want to be the, so again, what's my vision? I want to be the 50, the fittest 85-year-old in Sacramento, when I'm 85, which I've got some time to get there. So I'm not the fittest, guy my age today, but I do CrossFit and, I do yoga and, I do a few other, I guess, crazy obsessive little exercise type things that that really are part of my routine. And so sometimes people want to know, you know, how do you do it all? And then what are your routines? So I can share with you a little bit about the routines, because they're kind of, I'm kind of quirky. And I think, again, you, if you're an entrepreneur out there and you're extremely driven and you are obsessive about stuff, that's okay if that's what makes you happy. Hopefully you've got the people in your life that are okay with that as well. So, I mean, one of the first things, put people in your life that let you be you. I have been lucky to do that. Scott and Tammy here at the office, and Monique and Rick and the others, are like, they sort of put up with my obsessive quirkiness and sort of pick up the ball in all the direction, in all the areas where I drop it or decide I don't want to, you know, do the work. They're good at it's sort of picking up all the loose ends and getting the ball across the finish line, so that I can go to CrossFit, go to yoga, go lift weights, you know, do whatever I'm doing to sort of put myself in the right mindset to really go out and do my job. Which is really, for us, it's the vision and, communicating the message and then the relationships that I've built, I'm helping parlay those for the good of the groups of companies that we have. So I do CrossFit. People say that's unhealthy. People get injured all the time. I have been injured, nothing seriously, but there's aches and pains associated with CrossFit. But one of the things I do to, I guess, minimize, you know, the aches and pains. So whether you're a runner or whether you're, you know, whatever sport you do to stay in shape, one of the things that, so yoga is a good help for that. And the yoga place that I go to, Eastwood Yoga, they kind of get into the mind body stuff, which is kind of interesting. But it really helps with your flexibility. And I do a lot of additional mobility work on my own where you kind of like, you know, I roll my feet on golf balls and, you know, stuff like that, foam rolling and, you know, other kinds of contraptions that you can, you know, sort of roll your body onto to help your flexibility. These are things that I do very in a very routine way while I'm dreaming about, you know, how great our companies are going to be or how great Haneyville is going to be or, you know, when I'm thinking about what I might talk about on the show or something, you know, I could be rolling out and sort of have my mind go there so that I'm more prepared. But I'm kind of doing a dual purpose where I'm getting a little bit more flexible simultaneously. So I break my, you know, I have my overarching vision as being the fittest 85-year-old, and I break my, I guess, focus into four categories: sleep, exercise, nutrition, and thought. And you end up spending a lot more, I guess, time. You're thinking all the time, but you know, we spend a little bit more time thinking about the exercise piece, because that, but I look at that as, my exercise for me is part of the thought piece, because people that work out strenuously can relate to this. So stress is a part of entrepreneurship. Stress is a part of life. But it's definitely a part of, entrepreneurship. But if you are at max effort in a, it could be a 10 minute workout, a 20 minute workout over at CrossFit, or an hour, whatever. You, if you're all out, you can't think about anything else. And it is, extremely clearing. Not only are you sweating like crazy, you know, detoxing, if you will, your mind is, blown. I just got done with CrossFit before I did the show, but your mind is like, when I say blown, that might not be the best way to put it. Your mind has to go to, embracing the suck is what they call it at CrossFit, right? It can be kind of painful if you're pushing yourself. But you're not thinking about other things. You're thinking about, you're very present at that moment. And, so when you're done, you are clear headed, you're no longer stressed out. And that lasts for a while. It's so, in some ways it's kind of like a drug. And, for that, you know, I've learned that later in life. I've only been doing CrossFit 6-7 years. I've always liked to run and, you know, and stay in shape, but CrossFit is uniquely, and there's other CrossFit type workouts that are uniquely beneficial in helping with stress, because they're so dang hard, right? They're so hard that, you know, you forget about everything else. So people wonder how you deal with stress. You know, stuff like working out really hard can be a huge piece. Getting sleep as well. If I don't get enough sleep, I'm going to be stressed out. So, you know, my friends tease me because I go to bed early. Oh, you know, everybody else is staying out late, burning the candle at both ends. And I do that occasionally. Tonight I'm going to a concert. But I really try to get to bed early so I can get up early and you know, attack the day. And so I sleep, exercise, nutrition is something that I really need to work on. But yeah, I do believe, you know, at my age, you're trying to cut sugar out of your life. So that was one of the things that I've been working to do this last year or two, is cut sugar out of my life, lower carbs, you know, stuff like that. I'm not obsessive about the nutrition. I mean, I take, you know, take vitamins and that sort of stuff. So I'm not as disciplined as I would like to be in a lot of these areas. But I think all of that is a foundation for helping me think straight, right? So if I have my sleep, if I've got my exercise, if my if I'm putting the right stuff into my body, generally speaking, then, you know, I'm thinking right. I'm not feeling guilty as much about, you know, being out of shape, or, you know, those things that can weigh on me. I don't know if they weigh on you, but they can weigh on people. For me, if I can keep that sort of managed, then I'm thinking straighter, which is really, you know, I'm thinking about all the things that make me happy. And, so that's my, you know, that's sort of my package, is I am fourth. My family, my friends and community, are 1, 2, and 3, and then, try to keep myself healthy so that I can, help them succeed. Right. So as they succeed, I succeed, really is what it comes down to. Again, I think in the future, people are going to probably want to dive deeper into Haneyville. They might want, in my personal world, they might want to dive deeper into my business partners and that world, and my friends. And then also, you know, what are we doing in the community? These are aspects of of the Mark Haney Show that are going to be, we're going to take a little bit deeper dive on like what I'm doing. We're going to continue to interview people on the show and share their stories and help them educate you. But I think as you hear a story about this older guy that, that might be a little bit like you, might be, a little obsessive, about business, obsessive about winning, obsessive about life. It doesn't have to be business. I was obsessed as I was coaching football. We won championships. I'm obsessed about winning, which is, it's not, you know, it's about being the best that you can be. It's about doing something important in your life. It's, you know, I'll get choked up, you know, maybe get tears in my eyes if I see, you know, little kids turning a double play. They've been practicing it forever, and now, oh my God, it's come together. But it's come because of their commitment. I, you know, to me, that's greatness. That's winning. And so as I see people win, as I'm around people that are winning, as I'm living vicariously through these extremely obsessed founders, oh my gosh, it's what... it's extremely rewarding, and in some ways, I feel like I'm a small part of it, even though maybe I laid a little bit of the foundation, I helped create some opportunity, I didn't really do a heck of a lot other than that, but it's still super rewarding just to be around it. It's like being around celebrities, if you will. I mean, that's how I felt last night around some of my business partners, right? These guys are, to me, they're the heroes of the American economy. They're the key to Sacramento's future, and they're hanging out with good old Mark Haney from down on the block, right? So that's, you know, it's a life. It's a life that I've built, and, you know, might be a lot different than yours, but it's, maybe you see some similarities in it, and maybe there's a part of that that says, you know what, it's something that I wouldn't mind knowing more about, being around more, and I'll continue to share the stories. I'll continue to open up my home to you, my office, and our world, because again, I really, if you have that dream of building something important in your life and doing something important, you know, that's interesting to me, and I want to be around it. And I think, you know, I talked about my son's military background, and many friends that are supporting, you know, they're in law enforcement, you know, so at the end of each show, I always say that same little mantra, you know, to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, right? Because I love that. But to all you out there that are fighting the good fight for our security, right? For keeping our homeland safe, for all you out there that are fighting overseas, everybody that's helping support those people, the people that are, you know, helping them after they get wounded, after they get sick, after there's a challenge, all those out there fighting the good fight to make America better. You know, we're never above you. We're never below you. We're always by your side.
Yeah. This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.